Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Progressive Britain podcast. This is the review show for the Pride special with guests Peter Kyle MP, Greg Owen and Katie Curtis. I'm Progress Deputy Editor Connor Pope and I'm joined by Director Richard Angel and Deputy Director Stephanie Lloyd, who is also Treasurer of LGBT Labour. London Pride takes place on Saturday, tomorrow.
Gay Christmas.
What? One of many.
As well as Eurovision. You've got so many Christmases.
We like a celebration.
What are your plans for the protest?
So we're going to both be with LGBT Labour. So one of the things I do in my spare time is kind of organising for lots of that. So yeah, we're going to be really close to the front of the march this year, which is very exciting.
Brilliant.
But the way that the march works is that it's wristbanded. So we only get a certain amount of allocations, which are already gone. But we always love people to kind of come along or like cheer us on from the sidelines or come see us afterwards and things.
Or sneak in, did you say?
I didn't say that, Connor. And it would be inappropriate from somebody from LGBT Labour to say that.
We did not say that. But yeah, no, so it's going to be an absolutely amazing day. And we've got lots of stuff to give out. We've got all our famous Never Kissed a Tory merch that people absolutely love. So we're going to be doing that. And then obviously immediately watching the football afterwards because it's coming home.
Steph's even booked a table so she can be at the front. So as soon as she gets off the march, she can go and get her fill of football. I'll be along with LGBT Labour. I go most years. I've been all around the country with LGBT Labour doing prides. We went to Doncaster Pride one year, which was a little... hair-raising because there was a serious counter demo, which is amazing. And actually in the 2010 leadership election, we did Manchester Pride and Ed Miliband joined us. And it was interesting because it wasn't Ed's natural territory to be amongst drag queens and people in glitter. And
Manchester Pride is so extra as well. I love it. It was one of my favorites.
And there was a little counter protest and it really, really got under Ed's skin. He was really like, oh my God, this is awful. Like what's happening? And it was really interesting talking to him about it because I was like, yeah, but it gets smaller every year.
Oh, yeah, there's always that little spot as you walk past. And they're
London,
like, you're evil.
And in London, we didn't do this to them, middle of Amazon there because it might have been awkward. But in London, people just snog in front of them. Yeah. It's really good fun.
Best bit.
It's the best bit. And I have a friend that we snog every year. We only snog at Pride. It's lovely.
I'd not realised that there was these counter protests. Even in London, you're saying?
Yeah.
So whereabouts in the London March?
Where we met for the EU rally. So on the corner... Okay. Pall Mall.
Yeah.
They're a little like cordoned off.
Yeah, they get
area,
a little corner, and then
like, it's like Jesus doesn't love you kind of stickers.
God hates faggots. Like, you're like,
yeah, that
sure,
one.
Ridiculous.
But
it's so funny to wind them up though, and literally by that point as well, quite a lot of people have normally had, I would say, a few beverages on the way. There is a really long time often, particularly if you're at the back of the march,
which we were last year,
or the year before we were even further back, where you literally have to wait like 3 hours, but you have to be there. But you have to wait like 3 hours before you actually start marching. So like every single like shop around it basically just gets cleared out of all of the
and
things in tins.
Bring your sunscreen.
Oh, I'm going to burn. I've got the most extra gay wings that I'm wearing because I don't think I go enough.
They're not going to stop you getting tanned though.
No, but I'll still look fabulous, even if I burn.
Even if you're burned,
even if I burn. And if I get bored, I just make someone else carry me.
The people behind Steph might not be getting burnt because they'll be in the shade, yeah, obviously. If
how big do you think these are?
I'm imagining something enormous, I'll be honest. But so the march itself is ticketed, but obviously it takes over all of Central London,
all of
really.
Central London,
on the occasions that I've been, I've not been on the march, but I have been to, you know, the bars in Soho.
Eliza, welcome.
Yeah, well, it's great fun. I've always enjoyed it.
What is most amazing actually is when you see two things, when people bring kids and you see families saying to the kids, this is okay, this is good. Like your brother might be in there, your uncle, your auntie, your genderqueer cousin, whatever it might be. Really nice. And kids being there is a really, really lovely part of it. And the other thing is when you see that beaming face of somebody who next year wants to be in the march, and you know they're not quite there. And it was a nice part about the podcast this week, Pete Kyle talking about his journey from not going to watching and wanting to be in the march, and a year later being in the march, and how it changed his process of like, no, I'm okay with this actually. And it's a really positive thing about Pride.
It took like 6-7 years since I came out, when I came out, before I actually went on a Pride march. Like, it just wasn't a thing that I ever really entertained. And then I went on it and got literally all of the bug. I was like, but now I go on all of them, all of the admin now.
Yeah, a close member of my family is 18, went on her first Pride last year. She only came out about a year ago and she was 18, and her sister took her along as her first one, you know, as an out lesbian, which she was really excited about, because growing up as well, you know, especially if you're not in a big city, it can actually, you don't know that many LGBT people growing up.
Well,
and so actually,
well, lots of my teenage years
to go
was
meet people with them.
Consumed by thoughts about how I hide it. So the concept of going somewhere to be like, whoa, I am here, was actually really alien. Even, and you know, I'm very confident. I came out quite early, you know, so it is really alien. So if this is the first year for you and you're thinking about standing in the crowd, feel free to come and join us, because you'll love it.
Anyway, so you talked a lot about prep on this week's episode of the podcast, which is obviously a really big issue for gay men at the moment. What kind of responses did you get to the show?
Well, firstly, I think it's amazing that Greg Owen did it, not least his schedule recently, because of the BBC documentary, The People versus the NHS, who Gets the Drugs, has been a real success. So he's been all over all kinds of channels. So it was great to have him on the Progressive Britain podcast. And he's a bit of a hero for lots of gay men. He's literally, and I actually, saving people's lives is true, not because HIV is a killer. It's a very different kind of illness to have these days than it was in the 80s, because there is treatment, and treatment that doesn't have some of the terrible side effects that it would have had in even the very, very recent past, but because the mental health impacts that go with it, the stigma, we only touched on that briefly in the podcast. And we do know people who, when they get the news that they've become HIV positive, go and do really traumatic things to themselves in that moment. So Greg giving people the ability to stop themselves contracting HIV is amazing. And I know lots of my friends informally, his name will come up, we'll talk about him, because he has changed it. And he's changed it in such a small period of time. You know, this wasn't something the Labour government even knew, PrEP wasn't about when we were last in government. This is all on this government's watch, and I think they're failing pretty strongly on it. But so I've had some amazing feedback. One, just the fact we're talking about it, because, you know, if this was a drug for almost any other group in society, it feels, and certainly if it affected straight white men, this would be well and truly sorted by now. The NHS wouldn't have lost two court cases on it and still be dragging its heels. Greg disclosed on the podcast, which was pretty amazing, that he knows of two people who've been turned away from the NHS England trial because it is so-called full, that have contracted HIV since. And that was a pretty real moment. You know, when people say politics doesn't really make any difference, like, government ministers are holding up a drug that could stop people contracting HIV. And we know now of people who have contracted HIV because they're not able to get this drug. So the fact that we've kind of, we've not broken a taboo or anything, but put it into a space that is apolitical and too not defined LGBT as much as Steph and I and others at Progress try and bring the sparkle. This is not an LGBT podcast, but also it's raised some of the discrepancies. So Greg talked very briefly about the fact that Scotland's not doing a trial. It's doing full support through NHS Scotland. So if you're 16 and up, you can get PrEP, and you can get it not just through sexual health clinics, but through the NHS across the board. In Wales, they're not calling it a trial because that puts off people of colour. They're calling it a pilot.
Right, okay.
And there's no cap on that. But because under 18s can't be part of trials or pilots, it's from 18 up. So that's already a discrepancy. So there will be some 18-year-olds who are highly vulnerable, who might need some 16 and 17-year-olds that are highly vulnerable, but won't be able to get it in Wales. And in Wales, it's only available at STI clinics. And in particular, women, and some of women, particularly in a domestic violence relationship or the like, will be unable often to use and generally disfavor using gum clinics generally. So women will be more vulnerable in Wales because of the nature of the policy. So it's better because of the Labour government there. It's not as good actually as the SNP policy in Scotland, giving credit where it's due. But then in England, we've got a 10,000 place trial, 7,000 places have gone. Most of the places in London are full for it. We know people are being turned away. They're saying they're going to extend it by 3,000 places, maybe at some point, but it hasn't come, let alone soon enough, but it isn't come yet. The one bit of good news is they've just found 450,000 to extend it to Northern Ireland, where HIV infection rates are going up disproportionately in the UK. So there is some good news, but I think just people found that interesting, and you know, people need to know about this drug.
Yeah. So the government announced this week a welcome and long overdue move to outlaw gay conversion therapy, which is part of a wider LGBT action plan. Stephanie, what did you make of the announcement and the plan?
I mean, firstly, the fact that a Conservative government is announcing this plan shows how far we've come, and actually how far, when we were in government, we changed the whole kind of, you know, attitude towards LGBT issues within this country. But honestly, if I'm really honest, I actually think it was really tokenistic. And as is most of what I think, to be fair, this government does when it comes to equality. So it is actually a U-turn in terms of their gay conversion therapy stance. They've spent a large amount of time saying that it was impossible to outlaw. There's no way that they could ban it. You know, we've got this code of practice that we sign up to, and of course it's really, really bad. But actually, when they started to understand the level of which this goes on, but, you know, they've said that they'll outlaw it. They've not really outlined at any point how they're going to do that. So there's a huge amount of detail lacking from this. And it's lots of more, let's have some more action plans. We'll have some advisors, and we'll have some more ambassadors and advocates for these things that sit on it. And for example, they've got one that's coming out, you know, they've said that we need an ambassador for health. Well, we know what they can do on health to help LGBT people. They've been taken to court and lost on it twice and still refuse to do it. So, you know, I find it very, very difficult to give the level of credit that I think people are proclaiming that they deserve this week, when actually the reality of the situation is still they just hide away from the actual difficult choices. And they say things that sound very lovely, but and they're like, you know, well, we need to do more to help, you know, hate crime reporting when it comes to the police. I'm like, all right, well, stop cutting the police force then. Like, stop. It's literally like it blows my mind in terms of how they are just allowed to get away with this.
Yeah. The and real actually, gift is what it's given government minister words that LGBT campaigners can shout back at them, basically, to try and hold them to this further down the line. Because I think you're right. Under the action plan, it's very little.
It's 75 points of literally nothing.
Yeah.
Really. In lots of
75.
75 point action plan. But the problem is, it's not about having, you know, you can have a 1,000 point action plan, but if none of that's actually going to make any real tangible change to people's lives, they're still refusing to do anything in terms of Northern Ireland when it comes to equal marriage. Like, there are really big, easy things that they could do. Well, not easy, but, you know, there are things there that they could do to really demonstrably change the lives of LGBT people, and they don't do it. And actually, I found it slightly crass that they were applauded as widely as they were.
If you think the Equalities Minister used to be the Education Secretary, big public service department, right in the centre of government, key part of delivering this country, it's now done by the DFID Secretary. And the DFID Secretary is not as important in government as the Education Secretary, let alone in a Tory government, where it's really being, I mean, thank God they're not cutting the department, but you know, that's the only real
sidelined.
It's really sidelined. Yeah. So it's not like, you know, it's not like you've got a kind of Justin Greening forcing this through. Penny Mordaunt is new in the cabinet, and, you know, kind of lucky to be there would be the view of some of her colleagues. So it's not a kind of forceful figure.
It's not. No. And I think it literally really is. It is the Tories out there in the way that they always do with these things. It is, you know, very nice words, but actually the reality of the situation for LGBT people is still really quite dire in lots of places in this country. You know, people are still scared to walk down the street and hold their hands, and this Tory government can do action plans all they want and advisors all they want, or they can actually do real action and make tangible change and do this, and they choose not to.
So Progress held a Pride reception earlier this week. I'm sure some people may have seen online the brilliant pictures of towards the end of the reception, because it was on Tuesday night, so the England game was on at the same time, and the fantastic pictures of people celebrating during the victorious penalty shootout were, I think, fantastic. We'll ensure that we put those in the show notes underneath. What was the reception about? Who spoke? How did it go?
I think it's probably, you should probably say this, Richard. I watched the telly.
Yeah, it was football. It was football, mainly.
I led the football caucus of the Pride reception.
Definitely did. So we had Pete Kyle and Andrew Eagle hosting, talking about their own experiences, which was pretty remarkable, but also bringing other people in. So Ben Bradshaw spoke about the risk of Brexit and what that will do for LGBT rights. Gerald Jones talked about his kind of coming out and what it was like to be a public servant when he wasn't out, and then what it has been as an MP being out, which I think was pretty...
When Nia Griffith was talking about when she was talking about when she was a teacher and she was living with a woman who was her partner at the time, and it was when Section 28 was introduced, and she was talking about like literally the experience of that, where she was like, you know, you would never say what you were doing after work, who you were living, like any of your life. You just had to shut every bit of that down. And if you imagine, like, I can't even imagine the pointless rubbish that you two know about my life and the things I do. Like, the ability to not be able to say who are you going on holiday with? Like, all of these things you have to think about constantly. It was so emotional.
Robbie Young, the chair of LGBT Labour, newly elected, he was there speaking as well. And we also had some really nice kind of friends in the community came along. So the designer, Philip Normal, who's a Labour councillor, he was there, and he's got a very LGBT-friendly range coming out with Paper Chase, which is quite interesting. Yeah, no, and I think we'll move things forward in some classrooms and might potentially get a little backlash, but have an interesting conversation about LGBT presence in schools. But also a lovely guy called Ollie Pike, who's written these amazing books to talk to primary school children about different kinds of families. And it has LGBT characters, so some are lesbian couples, gay couples, and trans characters in it, which is really lovely. It was quite special to have.
Yeah, it was fab. It was such a lovely reception, and yeah, we had so many great people come along and attend. And also, England won the first ever penalty shootout in the World Cup. So, I mean, what more do you want?
Did you sing "Football's Coming Out" at the end?
No, I did accidentally. To be fair, we celebrated so hard. I don't think she'll mind me saying this. We celebrated so hard. We were all like jumping up and down, and you know, as you should be doing. I did accidentally get hit in the face by a certain MP that had attended, which was covered in gold. I was like, this is a hate crime.
And we also had beautiful Pride brownies by Condor and Cook, had donated some lovely Pride brownies. Oh, they were great. Beautiful rainbow flags across some very, very tasty brownies. So mm-hmm. That was all very nice. Okay.
Finally, quickly, before we need to wrap up, your pub quiz question this week. Do you remember what it was?
So the political pub quiz question was, at what age can you access PrEP in Scotland and at what age can you access it in Wales? Which I've already said.
16 and 18.
16 in Scotland, 18 in Wales, England, and soon to be Northern Ireland.
And one person got it right, I think, did they?
Yeah, so it was Theo got it right, who emailed into you, Connor, didn't he? So we will get a mug in the post for him as soon as he sends through. We'll email it back and he can send through his address.
Perfect. But I think maybe the fact that only one person did get the right answer this week possibly shows the lack of widespread knowledge about the drug. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I've learned a lot this week about something that I knew
zero things.
Anyway, do remember to send in any comments and questions that you have. Do leave a review and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for listening.
Happy Pride.
You've been listening to the Progressive Britain podcast with Connor Pope and Richard Angel. The music is When in the West by Blue Dot Sessions, licensed under Creative Commons, and this episode was produced by Carolyn Crampton.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.